Welcome to the Friendverse podcast. This is Wandia.
And this is Shiko. And how are you guys?
I think they're okay.
I think so too. And if you're not, love and light.
Yeah. And I mean, this episode, maybe, you know, lift your spirits.
I know.
Help you feel a bit better.
I know. I hope so.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So it's my turn.
Yeah. So.
To read something.
Something cool you sell.
Yes. And it is from Boone. Mm-hmm. By the poet Yesa Daliwad.
Ooh, I love her.
Yes. Her Instagram is really...
I really enjoy her
Gosh, Instagram.
I think I love her energy.
Yes, I do too. Yeah. So let me read. This is from Bone. It's never too late to be wise. See how your spirit has been fermenting. And I like it because, you know, it's about not being stagnant. Mm. It's about being better, about gaining wisdom and knowledge and improving yourself and, you know, that kind of thing.
And also this thing for it's never too late because sometimes we beat ourselves up for making mistakes.
Oh, you should have
known
better.
Or not knowing better.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah, exactly.
So it's
like, right, we're really great getting there. So it means like there's always a chance to do it better the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Your time is not up. At least for now, you know, you always have a chance to do it better.
Growth,
you know, and the hand movement.
I know, growth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you could see our faces, we're really doing. What movie is that?
It's Insecure.
No, and on Girls Trip. Oh. You know, we're talking about the, is it GIF, GIF? Let's not have this argument, but yeah, then she's talking about.
It's not Insecure.
Growth. Oh,
it is insecure. And I don't watch any movies. I don't watch any shows. But I know the context. Shiko
One. On that note, I think I fell off Insecure. I didn't like the most recent season as compared to the other one. Anyway, because Shiko is just looking at me like, what is she talking about? Anyway, yeah. So, how are we getting into the topic of growth today?
You tell me.
So, what exactly, maybe I can look at what current things are you doing to improve yourself?
Many things. Always, you know, let me tell you, without Google, I don't know who I'd be. Because I'm always, every time I catch myself, let's say in a discussion or even an argument, I try to learn from that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm always researching things. I'm always trying to know more about stuff that we are talking about with my friends, with my family, you know. So one of the things I do a lot of is a lot of research online. I watch a lot of, I'm subscribed to a lot of like philosophical channels on YouTube that I watch. Well, podcasts. Not consistently. But like I watch them, of course, podcasts. Mm-hmm. I like a number of podcasts that are not about entertainment. Of course, there's always the Read for Entertainment and all that. But there's also, you know, Stuff Your Mom Never Told You. There's Hidden Brain. Mm. There's, you know, there's such a wealth of content. Yeah, there's a lot of content.
There's a lot.
If you want to become better or even to know more. Because it's not always about... becoming better, although that is a goal for me, obviously. It's also about knowing more things.
Yeah.
So that when I come across it, I'm like, oh, I read about this. Or, if I find something fascinating enough, I will do my research. So I'm doing that as well. And always having better conversations. Mm. I feel like I'm trying to improve the quality of conversations I'm having so that it's not gossip.
Mm.
It's those conversations where we are discussing something as simple as, it would sound simple, but it grows out of it. Because I remember one conversation I had with my friend was about the themes in BoJack. Horseman, do you watch BoJack?
Yeah.
Because BoJack is not just an animation.
It's
There's
not.
So much going on in BoJack, you know. Having a conversation about it with someone who also watches it is really enlightening, you know. Oh, I've remembered the tweet by Daniel about Will Smith being
Danny Carl.
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
about Will Smith being Mr. Peanut Butter. Did you see that tweet? Oh my God. She was so spot on. Yeah. Will Smith is Mr. Peanut Butter. Oh my God. But yeah, that's
On another note, I do not like his character. Mr. Peanut. Is the dog, right?
I mean, who do you like? Do you like Bojack? You know, Bojack is also not that good of a person.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like Mr. Peanut Butter is like... annoying. He's good, but then it's just...
No,
there's
but
just something about him.
That's his philosophy. He lacks self-awareness.
Right. That is like an empty shell. Like, it's just... what are you bringing to the table? At least Bojack, I know he's a mess. And he does not try to prove that.
No, he does. He's not, always not that no, much. He's always he's asking not like, Diane whether he's a good guy, and he's not.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. He's really not. Like, he messes up throughout, literally. I feel like it's a train wreck. His life is a train wreck.
I'll
it's
be
a bit
so it's annoying.
A bit triggering.
I know. No, but I'm it's like, such a well it, done show.
Yeah, right. I'm always like, will it ever work out for him?
I hope not. Like, because that's, like, you know, let's be real. You know, if he go, like, now, spoiler alert, if he's now gone to rehab, right?
Yeah.
If he becomes better after rehab, I'll be so pissed off. Because if Bojack is Bojack, he'll either leave early or without finishing the program, or he'll backslide.
Yeah, true.
That's it.
Go on a bender.
I think so.
Then he'll wake up and be like, oh, shit. Like,
I know. And go to Diane to ask her if he's a
good
guy.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah, just no.
No, but you know, that's how it is. Like, you know, he has this moment where he's self-aware, like when he went for the wrong funeral that was supposed to be his mom's funeral, and he had that monologue that was so long.
Yeah.
You know, he said he's for one of the few rare moments when he really spoke some truth and spoke his heart.
Yeah.
Those are rare.
Yeah. But I feel like his character is very complicated, and I feel like I appreciate that there's they show different sides. And you know, it's actually you relate with, you know, things there. Okay, not a lot of them, but you see these are real. This is real. It looks real.
You know, actually, when I was having the conversation about Bojack, my friend was like, she doesn't see how people who say they relate to Bojack, they are like, do they know that Bojack is not a good guy?
He's not a good
guy.
He's not a good guy.
I hope
people really find out that you're not okay. You're not doing the right thing.
Yes.
You know?
You need therapy.
You need help.
Yeah.
You need to act better. You need to do better. And I was just thinking, when you're talking about all these things that you're incorporating in your life to do better, I always wonder, all these people I surround myself with, are they also working on themselves, you know, as hard? Or am I the only one who is working to make myself better? And, you know, trying to be a better person to my friends, to my family, you know, to my partners, like whoever is, you know, inside this circle, I say, is my life. Mm. Are people actively, you know, be doing better?
But I feel like you can't control that. And that's where, one, there are like the levels of friendship. Mm-hmm. So there are some who you can sense are becoming better or whatever, and they're closer. And then there are some who are just stagnant or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's not something you can control. The only thing you can control is whether
how you
these
let
people
them into your
exactly
inner
they stay
or
in your circle
exactly.
or not. So for me, that's not a big. It's just that, what am I trying to do? You know, because my biggest thing is finding peace within myself. Mm. You know, and on top of that, growing as a person, becoming, because, you know, saying I want to become a better person is very abstract. What does that better mean?
And in what ways better?
Exactly. What ways are you becoming better? Because you can become a better narcissist. You know, you can become better at being unkind.
True.
You know, so it needs, for me, I want to be kinder. I want to, you know, be, to know how to love people better.
Yeah.
Because we are not taught how to love.
Yeah.
And also, on top of not being taught how to love, we are not we are not having these conversations with people around us about how they want us to love them, you know. So exactly. Those are the things I'm trying to be like, because the conversation one day I'll have with you about how can I be a better friend to you, it's not the same conversation I'll have with someone else, because the rapport that we have is not the same as I have with someone else, you know. So when I say I want to be better, it's very specific. It's not an abstract concept about betterness.
You know, randomly, I asked this question on Twitter where I was, the question was, what difficult thing did you find out about yourself?
Yes, we talked about that once.
And then
in an episode,
someone replied that I don't know everything. I found that really puzzling. And of course, it's such a dude thing to say.
Yes.
Because it was a dude.
Because everyone, no one knows everything.
Like, so I was just like,
There's nothing profound. It's one of those things that people say because they want to seem profound, but it's the most simple thing, you know.
Right.
No one knows everything. No one. That is a fact.
Like, please reach the point in your life where you realize that you do not know everything.
I know.
And it's okay. It's fine. It's fine not to know everything. There are things you don't know, and there's time. There's time to learn more things.
And you are not unique in that aspect. You're not. I feel like it's such a response where you've not sat with yourself and thought about what have I learned. It's just the quick picking. You pick something quick and, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I'm not surprised someone would say that.
I know. I found that very surprising. Anyway, the other thing that I saw recently was, did you see this tweet by Roxane Gay? And she tweeted that this year she had...
Which year?
In 2018, she had tried so many self-improvement things and she was tired. She was just tired. She wanted to just... stop. Just relax. Be where she is. Be at peace with where she is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just exist. Mm. For that moment, she was exhausted of... I don't know. She didn't really get into what self-improvement things she was doing. But maybe if you follow her Twitter, you can see some of these things. But do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like... And I'm tired of, you know...
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, I feel like we are always pushed... And part of it is a capitalist thing because they have books to sell. They have gyms to fill. Right. They have, you know, TEDx talks for people to view. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So part of it is rooted in that where they want people to always feel like they need to be working on themselves. But honestly, we all get
your
tired.
Physical, your
even from your work, you take vacation. So from yourself and from growing, I get what she's saying. Mm. There are days... You're just like, by the way, now it's just for bumming. Yeah. I am just, I'm exhausted and I need a break. And because I feel like sometimes that happens when we lose the why. Mm. If you're not always questioning, why am I doing this? You're like a hamster in the hamster wheel where you're going. But where are you going?
Yeah,
you know?
This is true.
Yeah.
And then, you know, not to make it too morbid, but, you know, we are all going to the... We're all returning to the dust.
Facts.
You know, it's like, as sure as death and taxes, you know, we're all gonna die. And then, and this is recently, I think I was going through a low moment and I was just like, what is the point? Mm. What is the point of being kind to everyone if maybe people won't be kind to you? Mm. You won't get back the effort you put in.
But it
you
depends.
You can't control that.
No, that's true because sometimes, and I feel like, you have to do things with certain expectations. Mm-hmm. There are times you'll be kind to people and they'll be kind back. But the fact is, there are times you'll be kind to people and they'll not be kind back. And it's something that you should expect. You know, I feel like sometimes we are like, it's like religious people who are only religious because they believe in this thing where it will, at some point they'll get some eternal life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that you should not expect reciprocity.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that there will be times.
Prepare yourself to know that you cannot control outcomes.
And you will be disappointed.
Yeah. I think it's good to expect the best.
Yes.
Expect the best.
Yes.
But also prepare yourself inside and know that, you know, things don't always happen the way you want.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of something that I, maybe not entirely recently, maybe it's recently that now I do it more regularly. That now I start I journal a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I try to do a gratitude practice.
I've tried that and I keep failing.
You know, sometimes it's as simple
follow
as
through.
Your bed.
I know. No, but me, it's sometimes like, it's I'll do it today, then 2 days from now, I'll have forgotten all about it.
As long as, I think this thing of journaling and the gratitude practice are kind of intertwined.
Yes.
So I usually use this app called Day One.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it creates a timeline and then it has different posts. And then it will also show you that, oh, this deck word, this month, this date, this is your timeline of when you are actually uploading material. So you can see also maybe when you are going through a lot of things.
Mm.
I usually do not read things that I wrote in the past. Maybe one day I will. But I feel sometimes that I have exercised some energy in those words and I don't want to, unearth them again and go through it again in those moments.
But how will you know you've moved if you don't see where you're from?
I will do a body check now and feel how
mind,
I feel.
A mind check.
But yeah, both things. And I feel, how do I feel right now? Because I know how I felt maybe a month ago or a week ago. And I think it just depends on what you want from that experience. If you want to actually see what you were going through. Sometimes I don't want to see what hurt I was going through that
moment. Yeah, it's catharsis just like, to write it.
Wow, oh my God, you were going through so much. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't want to feel...
It triggers something,
you know. Mm-hmm. So I usually, when I write, I don't go back to read those things. But yeah, something I'm really trying a lot is writing down those moments where I'm thinking about... a particular thing or I'm struggling with something and, you know, meeting myself in the journal and actually being honest with myself. You know, those dark things you're like, actually what I did was not right.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I behave like this to this person? Was I jealous? Was I just being mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in this diary or journal, whatever, my Day One app, I literally call myself out.
Mm.
And I think I made a promise to myself that I will not be a good person all the time.
Mm.
You know, I'm human after all. I will have dark thoughts. I will be mean.
Mm.
I will be unkind in some moments. But how do those moments help me change that behavior?
Yes.
Do I feel anything? You know, do I feel bad that I behaved in this way? And do I want to improve? That's the key point. Not to be afraid of seeing your dark side, your bad side.
And you know, that is the thing about that I feel like is muddled in this whole positive thinking and what. Because no one is going to be that way 24/7, 365.
No.
I think it is more productive to just realize that not every day will be a good day for you, one.
Mm.
Two, that you are not 100% good in the description of what good is. There are days that you're mean. There are days that you're unkind to yourself and to other people.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, what do you learn from that? How do you grow from that? Because it's going to keep happening.
Yes, yes.
And if you keep beating yourself up about it because it's not something that you expect to happen, you're just going to have, you know.
It's going to repeat itself all the time.
That's the thing.
And I connect this with making amends. When you realize that you behaved badly, what do you do next after that? I am 100% a fan of making amends. So these days, I don't think I feel some type of way of telling people sorry that I made a mistake. I mean, it's sometimes I need
growth,
to psych myself.
Honestly.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. And I think part of growth is knowing that there are things that you need to do that whether or not they are easy, you have to do them.
You have to do them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's also putting yourself in someone else's shoes that they suffered under your bad behavior. And the fact that you may make them behave badly to someone else. So you say it's like a, you know, it's a very bad cycle. And sometimes we need to break that cycle because it's going to help people behave better towards each other.
I agree.
Because if not, everyone is just, you know, you're being mean to each other. It's like everyone, so I remember in high school you used to say that when a lecturer comes to
teacher
comes to class and then they have mood swings with it, you're just like, okay, something must be going on at home.
I know.
And I'm just like, why are you bringing the drama here and everything? So in this way, I'm just like, let's break the cycle of carrying, making your baggage other people's baggage. Mm. I know sometimes we snap and we behave badly. That's just the way human nature is. But I think we should make peace with making amends, saying sorry, actually explaining to someone that I really was out of pocket and I'm sorry. Mm. This is not the person I want to be, and you do not deserve it.
It depends. Woo, not everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, I still feel some. Yeah. Some people do not. I honestly believe some people do not deserve that.
Yes,
that for you to come.
I get what you're saying.
With them.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think part of growth as well is being able to discern, distinguish who people, you know, there's a, you know, I feel like there's a way you can read intent and so with that, you know who deserves what, without them telling you. I mean, some will tell you, some won't. So you'll have to rely on yourself.
Mm.
And also, but
and trust yourself to be able to make that discernment.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, as you were talking about apologizing, I was thinking about how we are not even taught things to do with apologizing as we are growing up. Because sometimes when you're a kid, you're told to say sorry for things that you shouldn't ideally say sorry for.
Oh, come on. Our parents never told us sorry for anything.
I know. But what I'm also saying is your parents tell you to say sorry about something that you really should not be apologizing for. I mean, so you're just thrown into this deep end of not knowing how to handle some of these things that when you're an adult, it's like you know nothing.
Yes.
And that's where developing yourself comes in. Yeah. You have to do these things. Mm. Unless something changes in how we are bringing up our kids, even they will still have to go through the same thing where things like love, how do you love someone? How is it to be kind? What do you need to apologize for? Who are you? You know, what do you love? What do you think? Why do you think the way you're thinking? Mm. You know, all these things are part of this agenda of who is Shiko?
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
Because of how we were brought up in our generation, it was not something that we investigated or thought about or spent time with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of what I've been exposed to or who I've been exposed to that is something that I actively seek for, you know.
Yeah. You know why I brought this thing for our parents never apologize to us, but they will always be the ones to, you know, tell us you need to say sorry for A, B, C, D, whether it was right or wrong. And then it also built in this thing that you are saying sorry because you got caught doing something like
not
that.
Not because you're sorry for the action
for
that
the action
you did.
Itself,
it's because you got caught.
And I'm like, our parents also never were their best example to show how forgiveness works, how you should do it.
Mm.
Because our parents did not apologize
for
things.
Didn't.
I mean, even now.
Well, now they've gotten a bit better. Because sometimes I demand apologies. I'm like, I didn't deserve that. So then I think it kind of like the first time I did it, it kind of caught them off guard. So they're like, even if it was a non-apology, those ones of if you felt a type of way, then I'm sorry. So it's not really an apology, but it's a step.
Yeah.
Because socialization, as you grow older, it's hard to let go of some of these things that you believe are the way to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's harder for them, I feel. And I'm trying to be more forgiving of my parents because I understand if I was not as exposed as I am, I'd be like them.
Yeah. I think it's totally justified to tell people when they act unfairly to you, like I did not deserve that. That was not fair. That's unfair. And I think these are words that we should learn to use so that also people know to correct their behavior.
Yes.
If people continue coasting around behaving badly, they'll think, well, I was justified. You didn't say that I did anything wrong. So how are you able to prevent someone from behaving badly to someone else, to the next person. Yeah. So I think we're also obligated to call people out. Mm-hmm. However much sometimes we do not want to, or we just want to end it or cut things, I feel there's this type of obligation in some way, if we really are about, you know, growth.
Yeah, and there's a way to call people out, because obviously there's the way
not to do it,
you know, but there's the way to do it, which I think you talked about in another episode where it's not abrasive. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Yes, there's that hurt and anger and all these things, but it's about stepping back or taking the time you need.
This was a discussion that was not on the podcast.
Oh.
But it's like giving yourself time.
Yes.
To, you know, calm yourself. Mm. Whether you're angry. You know, sometimes when something happens, you're angry, you're hurt. Mm. You know, sometimes you don't have the language. You want to hurt that other person, back. And sometimes that happens, you know. Mm. But there is value in saying that, actually, I need some time. At the moment, I'm hurt.
Yes.
You acknowledge that I'm not okay with this, but I need time so that I don't say something out of, you know, anger or, you know, sadness or hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't want, you know, that to be how we handle whatever it is we are trying to handle.
Yeah, yeah.
Take your time and then come back and, you know, at that point, you're being kinder with your words.
Mm.
You may be saying very tough truths,
mm-hmm.
but you're able to be more, what's the word?
Kinder.
Yeah, kinder.
Like you're kinder.
You know, yeah, you're also making more sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it would be important with whatever you're saying that the other person who's receiving this message is going to be able to consider what you're saying. They're going to be able to think about it. I mean, it's their choice not to, but I think people are able to take into consideration your words when you measure them, when you give them time to be, you know, well thought out.
Mm.
So I think it's better when we take time to say what we want to say, you know, and be intentional about how we do it, right?
So do you watch any YouTube channels that...
I am sadly very bad on the YouTube front. I do very badly, but when it comes to podcasts, I listen to them in the morning, in the evening. I'm just like, oh, I feel like listening to someone as I do a task. So for me, it's those ones for, like, let's say it's this hard thing that I'm doing. I like to match it up with something I enjoy doing, or, you know, to keep me busy, to keep me moving throughout the day. I actually love listening to people having conversations because I always learn in those moments, because, as we said, we don't know everything.
And, you know, there are those conversations that that are on YouTube, like where, like, Roxanne Gay would
be in conversation
with someone else or
I think what troubles me about YouTube is very difficult to curate it for yourself.
Yes, yes.
So someone, you know,
has to tell
you
someone has this channel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's true. But like one of my favorite channels, and I don't watch film, is Lindsay Ellis, which I tell everyone you should be following Lindsay Ellis, because she talks about, like, she'll take like a character in a movie and then talk about the history or how many times they've been portrayed, and then she brings it in issues of Hollywood and capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do enjoy her channel, on top of the philosophy ones. I just watch them once in a while when they bring a topic that I'm interested in. I do watch them.
Yeah.
But she's very good about what she talks about.
Mm.
And then something else I was thinking about are the long reads.
Mm.
Which is the one thing I miss about Twitter, because I used to get a lot of links from there, but now I had to subscribe to the Longreads website.
Mm.
So I still get my links.
So it gets like a weekly digest.
A weekly. But of course, there are some that are not there. So I know there's some that I miss, but because that, I feel like on Twitter is where I found one of the greatest articles ever written by the now defunct website.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Rumpus?
Oh, yeah.
Where they wrote about emotional labor. Because I did not know anything about emotional labor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not know that was the word for what I do.
Yeah.
And that is never reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
And that article, luckily, it's been archived in web, you know, you can get archived articles from defunct websites. So it's been archived. So I still go back to it, because if you're so used to doing something, you forget, sometimes you forget before you get into the habit of not doing it.
Yeah.
So I always go back to it and I'm like, is this an not reciprocated emotional labor or not? Yeah. So it, I find like those articles that are written provide guidance.
Yeah, it gives you a practical guidance to analyze your actual relationships as they exist. And be
things
like,
that I need to think about.
Oh my gosh, you're reading the article and you're like, oh my gosh, this is me.
Yes.
And you see yourself in this scenario and it pushes you to, you know, change behavior or change, you know, the course of a friendship or change something so that you're more in control of, you know, how you're having your friendships and getting more from them, I guess.
Yeah. So that's another way which I feel like I get to be better. So that I'm not, in terms of like emotional labor, which is probably something we should talk about because it's a thing. You know, you do something and then you realize that you're doing it because you're so used to doing it, not because you really want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what, like, that article helped me with. Realize that I don't enjoy doing this. It's just because I'm so used to doing it that I continue to do it. And I feel like right now I'm in a better space headwise in terms of issues on emotional labor and the like.
Yeah. That's true. And then when you were speaking about you realize these are things that you don't like and growing... And so I'm going to talk about something around change, managing change, when you're going through change in your life. And, you know, like at the moment, sometimes I feel like I'm going through intense change. And I know I do not like that at all. I resist it. So I've been thinking about actively putting myself in new environments, challenging myself to do things that I didn't think I would do or that I feel anxious about because I'm not so sure about the outcome. So that it, you know, exposes me to a new environment, a new experience, so that I can learn some more, learn something that I did not know before. Because I know I love, you know, high thrill things like, you know, bungee jumping and, you know, those carnival things and zip lining. But, you know, when it's in your life and it could very well end up as a failure. And, you know, sometimes failure can really, you know, hold you back and that feeling of I failed and you don't want to try again. But I want to really feel comfortable with that feeling so that anytime it comes up in my life, I am like, well, all it taught me is that this method doesn't work and that there's still five other ways to attempt to do it or, you know, find another way rather than be crippled by failure or be crippled by something that is unknown. And for me, I think that's something I want to try out as a new thing to make myself as to make myself uncomfortable a bit more often so that it helps me when life doesn't go as planned. Like actively doing things that challenge me. Because sometimes I'm just like, ooh, I'm good at this. Let me keep it at this.
Comfort.
Yeah, my comfort zone. And then I was thinking that sometimes life forces you to do it. And then in those moments, you have so much resistance that perhaps you're not even learning the most that you can, or, you know, you sabotage yourself even before you could, you know, get it going. So I think this is one new thing I think I want to try. I know it won't be easy. But yeah, this is one thing I want to try around growth. What are you thinking of incorporating as a new growth strategy or a new way to grow?
I don't know if I'm going to incorporate. I'm going to improve on the things I'm already doing. Because I feel also that's the other thing we are so inundated with. Oh, try this, try this, try that. And then You never find what works for you.
Yeah.
So I feel like what I've started, I build on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I start just picking things, you know, we get distracted a lot, yeah, because we are always fed all these many things. So I don't necessarily think I will be picking anything else up.
No. Yeah. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any last remarks, yes, around growth? Like, what would be your parting shot to
the you people? Actually said it. I was thinking about what my conclusion will be, and it's gonna grow from something you said, where people enjoy being the comfort zone,
mm,
and they have no interest in growing,
mm,
and I feel like for those people, mm-hmm, if someone who's around them is growing,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't want them to be a part of their life,
mm-hmm,
they, at this point, I feel like they need to know why.
Mm.
You can't just want to be this person. Let's say, for example, holding violent opinions, mm-hmm, on fat people, on LGBT people, and whatever. You know, you hold on to this thing that you were told by your religion or whatever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then people around you are growing and you want to maintain.
Yeah.
You need to realize that you can't have it that way.
Mm.
You can't have violent opinions and then still have people want to be around you.
Yeah.
It's like people are growing and you can't just be comfortable. It's going to come and it's going to be painful, which is what you said.
Mm.
And yeah, that's it. And to growth, guys, to growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I just be better. Do better. Want to be better, you know, and actively work on doing better. Don't go carrying your baggage, giving it, you know.
Passing it around.
Know, passing it around like offering. No, no, no. Please don't do that. Like, actively want to do better. Accept critique or criticism or like feedback. Accept it.
Accept that you can be wrong.
You can be wrong. Exactly. Mm. And also on the flip, on the other side, be kind when giving critical feedback.
Mm. That's something I need to work on, to be honest. Sometimes I'm a bit harsh.
Yes. You see, there's Chico over here has already professed that she needs to work on something. Yes. So, I mean, let's help each other do better and be better.
Ashe.
Yeah.
And what I'm listening to, finally, is Savage Garden. I mean, let's just give props where they're due. Those two guys from Australia gave us bops. Hold Me is one of my favorite of their songs. So, yeah, I'm listening. Sometimes I go on these streaks where I listen to, like, old music that makes me feel good. So, right now, it's Savage Garden and specifically Hold Me.
Mm.
What about you, Wandia?
So, I listen to music via my Spotify app, right?
How do you get Spotify in Kenya?
Don't ask me so many questions. See me in camera, please. So, what Spotify does towards the end of the year, it curates your top songs of 2018. So it kind of sees what you've been listening throughout the year, and then it puts them all in, like, it's like 100 songs, actually. So all these songs are put in one playlist for you, and then you can go back to them. And for me, I've been listening to this playlist, and it's actually shown me my journey throughout the year. When I was low, I was like, "Ooh, I really listened to this song." And, you know, when I was happy, when I was feeling sexy, when I was... So it's like a whole mix. And I feel like I've had a really wholesome year, a really wholesome 2018. I've felt many, many things, good, bad. And I think this playlist is just... a significant part of that journey that I had during 2018. And I think it's lovely to go through that journey. And I think I'm very glad Spotify does that. So, yeah, that's what I'm listening to.
Okay. Thanks, guys. And always, we are grateful for you guys listening. Our email is in the description below. Anyway, I'm kidding, but you can find our email if you really want it.
Yeah.
And write to us. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us, give us feedback, send us questions. We are very welcome to it all. And we shall see you on the flip side.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
podcast is recorded at What's Good Studios, who also provide technical assistance. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Castbox, or anywhere you get your podcasts.